Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, that was a weekend. That was a weekend full of football. I forgot how much energy and effort this supersized wildcard weekend takes. I mean, I've got Christmas stuff to pack up and put away. Football interferes with everything this time of the year. I'm joking. This is why we spend 18 weeks during the regular season, not to mention the 6 weeks of training camp and preseason. This is why we pore over draft picks. This is why we follow OTAs, both voluntary and mandatory. This is why football is a 365 sport. It never stops. It never sleeps. I keep trying to say, NFL, we can't miss you if you never go away. But I've kind of given up on that. This is it. This is why. Because it all comes down to these few weeks. You want to know something that dawned on me as I was thinking about tonight's game and the fact that we had a triple header on Sunday of this wildcard weekend? This Washington-Tampa Bay game was the penultimate, I do like to drop that word in every now and then, the penultimate Sunday night game. Now, I suppose you can look at championship weekend where you've got an early evening start time for whether it be NFC or AFC championship. But all year long, we've known that the Sunday night game would start just after 8 o'clock Eastern time, just after 5 o'clock Pacific. We don't have any more of those until the Super Bowl. That one actually starts usually around 6:30-ish Eastern time. And this year it's in New Orleans, so it'll be more like a dinner time kickoff. But there are only a couple of games left on the schedule total, actually. This is the mammoth weekend. We've got Monday night coming up still, of course, with one more game to get to. Glendale, Arizona is all decked out in Rams colors. I think under any other circumstances, that would be sacrilegious since it's a division rival. But because this is certainly not just special circumstances, but a benevolent move by the Cardinals, by the NFL, to make sure that the Rams and Vikings not only are taken care of, but can play this game in safety and that there are no first responders or any other type of security that has to be pulled away from what's happening in LA in order to work a football game. So that one taking place in Glendale. But for the most part, we are through our wild card weekend. We already have at least part of the schedule coming up for divisional weekend, which is my absolute favorite weekend on the entire football schedule. All year long, divisional weekend is the one. And once again this season, we've got ones and twos. Ones and twos, baby. Isn't that some type of a DJ thing on the ones and twos? Ryan's laughing at me because I'm so not cool. I have no idea. But I feel like that strikes a chord somewhere. Anyway, I digress. The ones will be hosting on Saturday. The twos will be hosting on Sunday. That's what you need to know. For the most part, that schedule is set. But yeah, the ones and the twos, Saturday and Sunday. I'm trying not to get too eager and look ahead, but to think about the cardiac kids, the Washington Commanders, who are making sure their fans earn every bit of this first playoff run in 19 years. And they'll be on the road at the Lions. Now, that's your night game from Detroit, Ford Field. Both Detroit and Washington, obviously, East Coast teams or Eastern time zone teams. So it's an 8 o'clock start. Kansas City, the two-time defending champions, will host the Texans in the earlier game. There's Houston in that same Saturday afternoon window. I suppose there is some solace in knowing that it might not be, well, for the whole game, it won't be in darkness, right? So Arrowhead is so cold. The winds there can be fierce. But at least the start of the game will be in daytime. So maybe that helps. On Sunday, Philadelphia will host the early game between either the Vikings or the Rams and the Eagles. And then you've got the Bills and the Ravens. Oh, stop it right now. I don't actually want to fast forward to that game, but that's the one, you guys. That is the one. So really looking forward to what we've got next weekend, but we're not even through this weekend yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for joining us after the busy January weekend that was in around all the football. This goes back to Friday night, even with Texas and Ohio State, as Ryan Day's Buckeyes move on to the national championship in college. And that will come up a week from Monday. So going back to Friday night, still felt like I had to get stuff done. And so I was finally unpacking completely from our road trip. We were gone for 2 weeks and packing up Christmas stuff. So I'm unpacking some stuff, packing other stuff. We were trying to do some cooking and then, of course, some cleaning. And we've also got a pantry, like a wooden pantry, standalone pantry that we've constructed. And by we, I mean my husband, and that we're painting. And by we, I mean him. That's his project, and laundry and everything else. And then just football. It's just a football theme all the way through the weekend as it is in January. You can find me online at A-Law Radio. Love to connect with you. So many of you enjoyed the conversation with Stacey Dales from late last week, which is cool. Glad to know that so many of you accessed it on both of our social media sites. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. I would love to talk about what we saw this weekend on the gridiron. And jumping in, we'll go backwards just because these are the most immediate games. The Commanders, they have a knack for this. It may not always be this way. The identity and the personality of a team will change from year to year. But right now, it is incredible. As in jaw-dropping sometimes. To see what they've been able to do as a pretty young team. With a rookie quarterback. A lot of other rookies that are out there on the field. And young players. And a brand new coaching staff in what is a brand new regime. Not only ownership, but Adam Peters, remember, brought into the front office. Dan Quinn, his staff, Cliff Kingsbury, some redemption there. And then think about the roster on the field. It's awesome to see them come together as quickly as they have. And I have no doubt that part of it is just that freedom of a fresh start and a change. We don't have to go over the Snyder regime, the ownership regime, to recognize that there were a lot of mistakes and miscues and missteps. Really bad decision-making, a toxic work environment at times. And not the same commitment to winning. And now this ownership group comes in and it's like this weight just fell off the shoulders of the Commanders organization and its fan base. And I'm sure you're not surprised to hear that Magic Johnson was right there in the tunnel greeting the Commanders as they're coming off the field following this win in Tampa. He's there hugging players, congratulating them. He's a champion. Josh Harris, he's rebuilt other teams. He's had success in other places. This is an ownership group that brought in a perspective, an aggressive mentality. We're going to win as quickly as possible. They hired the people and put the pieces in place, and it has really meshed. Now, they have a lot of growing to do. I wouldn't say they're a championship team, But to get this first playoff win on the road as a wild card is massive. It's a massive step. And it followed the same pattern that we've seen from these Commanders for a good portion of the season. I guess going back to the Hail Mary, they've got a flair for the dramatic. This is Broadway type stuff, you guys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Why don't we go back to the beginning, just because it's fun, to see what was the closest game of the weekend. And really, it was the second Washington possession that was the monster. I don't know if there were nerves. It's hard to tell if Jaden Daniels really has any type of emotions. But you can imagine there were some of these guys that were nervous. Had to kind of settle in. But that's what a 17-play, 9-minute drive will do for you. They marched 92 yards, and you could see it. You could see them start to get command and feel more comfortable and recognize, okay, this is a football game. It's a football game.
Back in five steps. Daniels steps up, whistles it right down the middle, and a wide-open touchdown for Deami Brown. Nobody in the zip code. And Washington takes the lead 6-3 at 9:26, but there is a marker down on the play.
It wasn't on the Commanders. It was on the Buccaneers. Jason Benetti with the call on the Westwood One radio network. We're going to mix in some of the local calls with the Westwood One because they were carrying all of these games. Deami Brown with that 10-yard touchdown catch, and that was it. This was football. Playoff football or no, from that point forward, they looked a lot more comfortable. I'm sure you will hear a lot about Zane Gonzalez over the next 24 hours, maybe over the next week. There are already memes out there about how many times he fixed his hair before he put his helmet on when he's walking onto the field to attempt the final kick of the night. But beyond that, whether or not he was nervous, I'm sure he was, he's the fourth kicker that Washington has used this season. And in the first quarter, or I guess it was first half, he calmly steps up and nails a 52-yarder. And believe it or not, the Commanders were up 10-3 late in the second quarter. Now, I did like the way the home team responded around halftime, putting together two quality drives. Right before the break, not a whole lot of time left on the clock, Mike Evans, he's been the go-to for Baker Mayfield since Baker arrived in Tampa. Really, Mike Evans, the go-to for every quarterback there in Tampa. And he had a busy first half. Three catches on that final drive, including one in the end zone.
Mike Evans wide to the left from the one. First and goal. Evans throws well. Caught ball. Is it caught? Yes! Touchdown Tampa Bay! Mike Evans! Fire the cannons! The Bucs are a point away from tying this game.
Gene Deckerhoff on Bucs Radio. If you go back and watch the slow-mo of that pass from Baker Mayfield, it's up close. He nearly tags the defender in the helmet. It was inches away from, I guess if he didn't have a helmet, it'd be like shaving the top of his head. It's like it was that close to zipping right into to his helmet. Otherwise, impressive final drive, and it was the two-minute drill. They needed to score. They wanted points on the board, and they got them. The game is tied there at halftime. And then what you saw is the Tampa Bay D really stepping up, and this has been the pattern for the Buccaneers as they won, their last four games in a row to earn the NFC South title and get into the playoffs. The defense stingier in the second half than it had been in the first half of these last month's worth of games. And so that Tampa Bay defense really starts to buck up there in the second half and to begin the third quarter forces a Washington field goal. And then Baker Mayfield has the ball in his hands again. This has been a terrific season for Baker. Not that they were going to make a change in Tampa. He's their QB. But the way that he has sparked the offense this season, especially with so many young players around him, and then Chris Godwin being injured, Mike Evans was out for a bit. It's been a tremendous year for Baker personally. And he's able to work the ball around to different people, including Bucky Irving, who is their terrific rookie running back.
McMillan in motion. Play action, a bootleg roll. Fast caught ball. Bucky Irving. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Irving's first career receiving touchdown. And the Bucs take the lead. 16-13.
So a pair of touchdown drives around halftime, and it would seem like at that point the Buccaneers had found their stride as well, especially when on the very next Commanders possession, the Bucs force a turnover on downs inside the 3-yard line. So on back-to-back drives, the Commanders have, I think it was a total eight snaps inside the 5, and all they come away with is a field goal. So at this point, Buccaneers have the lead. Early in the fourth quarter, though, a major turning point, a moment that no doubt will keep Baker Mayfield up for a week.
First and 10, they're at their own 15-yard line. In motion, Jalen McMillan. It's a fumble, the ball's on the ground. It's out. Does Washington have it? They do! A turnover at the 13!
Just got punched by Flash. I just got punched.
Here's the snap. Daniels to throw for it. Backpedaling into the end zone.
What a play.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! 5-17! A clutch play in the lead!
Bram Weinstein and Lyndon Fletcher on Buccaneers Radio. Just whenever there's yelling, just know that's, and I say Buccaneers, sorry, Commanders Radio. Just know it's Commanders Radio. So yeah, but Baker fumbles a handoff there in the fourth quarter. And that's a moment that it's not that the Buccaneers didn't have opportunities after that, because they did. But right after the defense forces the turnover on downs inside the 3-yard line, 4 snaps later, the Bucs give it back to the Commanders. So that's why it's so painful, is your defense worked so hard, got that done, and then immediately the offense turns around and gives it back. And of course, that's going to be one of the first questions that Baker Mayfield answers after this game. What about that fumble?
That comes back to me, just timing it up correctly. First one all year that happened on, so obviously timing of it not great, being backed up. Defense had just done a hell of a job getting us the ball. Another fourth down stop, and yeah, unfortunate, but that falls on me.
Got to see the tape, but I know we were supposed to run a jet sweep, and I don't know whether it was the handoff or after the handoff they got discombobulated. Can't give up field position like that and give them that kind of position.
So at this point, with the McLaurin touchdown, the Commanders are in front by a field goal. Now, Tampa does answer, gets right back into the red zone. That had to feel good. Some big receptions by some of the Buccaneers, like Cade Otton had a long reception up the right sideline, and they're back inside the red zone. But they have multiple attempts to get 1 yard, and Washington stuffs the third down and forces a field goal. And so then they're tied. And that's another big miss by the Buccaneers. The fumble and then getting that close and not being able to get into the end zone. So the final 4 minutes and 41 seconds, this is what really impressed me, is that the Commanders never gave the ball back to the home team. With a rookie quarterback and a bunch of young guys on offense around him, Washington picked up 3 first downs. We saw one to De'Ami Brown, who was huge in this game. Austin Eckler with an 18-yard tough run. And then Jaden himself. And it's kind of fun, too, because there was a defender who made a swipe at him as he's attempting to run around the right side on what was a 3rd and 1. I think it was a 3rd and 1. 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2. And all he ends up with is a towel.
Ben Sinnott goes in motion. Snap to Daniels. He's going to run to his right. Got away from Kalijah Kancey. Dives for the first down to the 15. He is spectacular.
The magic man. The kid. Jaden Daniels. You're talking about a terrific play call.
4 yards around to the right. And at that point, Washington was free to be able to work the clock and send Zane Gonzalez back out onto the field.
Zane Gonzalez looking to send Washington into the divisional round. Snap good, hold down, kick on its way. It is good! The Cardiac Commanders are the clutch!
Orange Commanders, they do it again! We'll see you in Detroit!
And Zay Gonzalez kicks in the door and kicks us into the second round of the playoffs!
I'm a little worried about London Fletcher's blood pressure. Fourth straight game in which they have a winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime. It's becoming comfortable for them. And I like what Dan Quinn has to say about how the more you do it, yeah, the more it just feels like this is normal.
Maybe it's the volume, David, of close games that you've been in. I've been on some teams that were exceptional, but they were maybe not in a lot of close ones. And so when that becomes the norm, I think you live in that moment more often. Jaden certainly is a big factor in that. I think if he had his heart rate monitor on in mind, they would not be the same in the game. And his stays pretty consistently good. And sometimes I'm like the duck, if you just saw the feet going under the water, it's good. But he really is into that space, exceptional.
23-20, the final. The Commanders have done it again, but this time it's in the postseason. First W in the playoffs for the Washington franchise in 19 years. Not since January of 2006, also versus Tampa Bay, believe it or not. We'll get more post-game reaction. But this would qualify as the only upset, if you will. I don't count the Texans as an upset. I know they weren't favored, at least last week they weren't. Maybe by the time they kicked off, the line changed against the Chargers. But the same four teams that made the Final Four in the AFC a year ago are all back. So you've got the Chiefs, as we've talked about. The Texans move on with a playoff win. Of course, the Bills as the two seed hosting the Ravens. So those are the same Final Four that we had a year ago in the AFC. We'll see if the outcome is any different. But in the NFC, we've got some fresh blood, baby. We've got the Vikings, who will play Monday, and we've got the Commanders, who have now entered the NFL playoff chat for the first time in 19 years. Commanders fans, I would love to hear from you. This was one heck of a game, and yet it's got to feel familiar, right? 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Hope you had an amazing weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Gonzalez looking to send Washington into the divisional round. Snap good, hold down, kick on its way. It is good! The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders! They do it again! We'll see you in Detroit!
And Zay Gonzalez kicks in the door and kicks us into the second round of the playoffs!
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Once again, the call on the Commanders Radio Network with no time left on the clock. A nervous kicker, the fourth of the year for this franchise. He was big in this game, even though there was, as Chris Collinsworth called it on NBC, a divisional doink. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Everybody wants to talk to and hear from the rookie quarterback for the Commanders. It's just so similar to what we saw with CJ Stroud and the Texans last year and how it came together a lot more quickly. And a lot of it has to do with the poise. Dan Quinn has talked about it. Terry McLaurin goes on and on about what he sees from the rookie quarterback.
And to see Jaden continue to just get us in the right calls, execute what Cliff is calling, showing some poise, you know what I mean, just taking complete command of the game, complete command of the huddle is, I'm fortunate to play with him and see how much he's grown this year, but that's who he is.
7 catches for 89 yards for McLaurin. I don't know if you all saw the video. They showed it on TV, but there are also some videos highlighting Jaden's reaction when the field goal attempt first banged off the upright and then went through. You can't hear the doink as well on radio. It's actually much clearer on TV because they've got a microphone that is attached to the upright or the field goal. Trying to think of the crossbar. Maybe it's the crossbar or the uprights. I don't know exactly where the microphone is, but there's a microphone there so you can enhance the doinks should there be any. And so on TV, you can really hear it. But the cameras show Jaden, who's sitting on the bench as it happens. Is he watching? Yes. Does he even have a shimmer or a sliver of a reaction? Nope. His facial expression barely changes, which is pretty incredible. So what did the rookie QB feel after the dub?
I don't know. I can't really explain it. Obviously, I'm grateful to have the opportunity. I'm happy for, you know, the fan base, the franchise, everything has been through to get to this point. So I'll just say, I mean, I'm just grateful and happy for everybody, including myself, too.
How about this for Jaden? First ever start was in Tampa. Remember, they kicked off the season also against the Buccaneers. And now his first ever victory in the playoffs comes in Tampa. Pretty special spot for him, you can imagine.
This place will have a special meaning to me. Obviously, my first career start, you know, first career playoff win. So that would be memories, but it wasn't anything different. I was just really focused on doing my job and how can I help these guys win.
And now they get a game against Detroit. Now, interesting, too, because I've heard some Lions fans say, glad we're facing the Commanders and not the Bucs, since it was Tampa that beat Detroit earlier in the season. Teams are so different now. No team starts out the season ready to win a Super Bowl, and if they do, there's no place to go but down. So it wouldn't have been the same Commanders team, but instead, you've got a young Commanders team that has absolutely nothing to lose at the top seed. So much more of the pressure is on Detroit.
Whenever this rookie campaign ends, I'm kind of in that mode. It's like, hey, one game at a time. Now we're focusing on Detroit. We got a short week, so we got to get our bodies back right to move forward for Saturday night.
This is what we've been doing all season. This is what he's been doing all season. And it's the preparation that we put in. And I know people may be tired of hearing winning time moments, but that's real. And it shows up.
Terry McLaurin once again. And I do like the... I guess you would call it the leadership, the cohesion, even the bridging of one era, quote unquote, of Commanders football to the next, because you're not throwing it all out. This is a storied franchise. I know it's been a long time. I know there have been a lot of changes, some of them real positive in the last year, but Terry McLaurin has been there. He predates Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, who's the OC, Jaden Daniels, some of these other young guys. He predates Austin Ekeler, who came from the Chargers last year. He's kind of the glue that represents the old, but is also so thrilled about the new. And he raves about the rookie QB, but honestly, couldn't Jaden Daniels rave about him? He's been great and has been... no doubt one of those reasons that Jaden has settled in so quickly. Now at the top of the hour from Tampa, we'll get the Buccaneers side of the story because a painful ending to their season as the Commanders upend the NFC South champs. Now, TJ Reeves, he's an occasional guest on the show. I remember he was with us the night the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl a few years ago. It won't end that way in 2025. But they're a team that's also got some positives for the future. 855-212-4227. Billy is in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours.
Good evening. Good morning, Amy. Big fan of yours. I follow you real close on your Facebook page as well.
Thank you.
Just let you know, I've been in Atlanta since December 1999 when they had the St. Louis Rams versus Tennessee Titans. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was born and raised on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. Back when they were the Redskins, haven't had no joy like this since we got RG3 and he gave us hope. His backup was Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
So, you know, Kirk's here. Do you like that? Here in Atlanta, I don't know what's going to happen with him. And we just had Snowmageddon here in Atlanta where we got a massive 3 inches of snow. That's the whole city down.
Nice. I'm a little jealous. We didn't get that much in my neighborhood.
Okay. There's so much joy in my heart right now for these Washington Commanders. I don't even know what to say. We're optimistic. We got the rookie of the year. Now, mind you, we also have Dan Quinn, who was the Falcons quarterback, 28-3. We're not going to go there.
Right.
But we have so much joy. Your fans who listen to you religiously, I'm a truck driver. I've called you before. I've got so much joy and optimism. I feel like you're going to feel when that daggone light gets blown out by your neck. You feel me?
I do. In fact, my husband and I might throw a party. We're waiting on it. We're waiting.
What you say? Boom. So
maybe.
We're ready, and we like that. We got optimism.
Awesome.
We're the monster.
I'm so glad.
You know, we're going to put one foot in front of the other, and the sky's the limit, because the limit's the sky. Love your show.
I like that.
Thank you for taking time.
Well, congratulations. So, I hope that you do enjoy it and that it gives you a big smile as you drive tonight. And be safe. Thanks, Billy.
Will do. Thank you so much.
855-212-4227. We'll take some more calls. As I say, top of the hour, we'll get the Bucks perspective. Also, brand new coach named on Sunday in the NFL. And there's so much that we can get to. We can put it all in there. The Chargers, they did their exit interviews on Sunday, even though they just lost on Saturday afternoon to Houston. So you've got the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And it's such a stark contrast this time of the year. But it's why these playoffs are so good, because the emotions, they are highest of highs and lowest of lows, and a whole lot of heart palpitations in between. At A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
From hash mark left for the Commanders win. The kick is up. It sails on the way, hits the upright, and goes through. He knocks it through and wins the game 23-20. The Commanders win in the postseason for the first time in 19 years.
I felt like I was in a Bounty commercial, you know, where the cup spills. And it hit. And as it went through, I kind of just paused and probably skipped a beat.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Dan Quinn, back as a head coach again this year in Washington after an unsuccessful, I guess most people would brand it that, an unsuccessful run with the Falcons, though they did make it to a Super Bowl, but it wasn't quite what they thought it was going to be, since he came from the defensive side of the ball, and the defense while he was with the Falcons just never really had it, never really found solid footing. Well, with the Commanders, he's in the early stages of building it all over again. But what great support from the front office and the new ownership, and obviously the rookie quarterback in place, makes all the difference. The call there with Jason Benetti on Westwood One. Zane Gonzalez, if you haven't seen some of the memes or the videos, how many times? Now, I think this might be editing, as in spliced together, but the number of times that he fixed his hair before he put his helmet on, to put his helmet on, then fixed his hair again. It reminded me a little bit of Rafael Nadal and the routine, meticulous, every single time before he would take a shot, before he would serve, he would have to do the same few almost maniacal moves where he would tuck his hair back. I mean, he he pulled a wedgie out of his butt. Like, it was just the same stuff over and over again. And so maybe that's the same deal with Zane Gonzalez and his hair. Or maybe it was just some editing. You can check it out, though. There are plenty of those videos. He did look nervous, I'll say that. And the ball doinked off the upright, but went through for the Commanders. 855-212-4227. Wayne is in Kentucky. Welcome to After Hours.
How are you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, fine. I used to live in DMV. I love the Washington team, but I'm surprised nobody's talking about how this beginning of the game, Washington had a chance to kick three field goals and didn't do it, and then they didn't make the first down either. And the other thing is, give the coaches credit for killing all the time off, the 4 minutes off in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love it.
It was huge. 4 minutes and 41 seconds. They had to convert three different third downs. They did it with three different people and three different play calls. And obviously then were able to run the clock down until they could take that last field goal.
Exactly. Now, I don't know if it's a head coach or who not, but they need to be given credit for that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. It's huge that they never gave the ball back to a hot quarterback on his own field, in his own stadium, with his own fans. They kept it away from Baker.
Exactly, exactly. And one more thing. In Detroit, is the stadium dome? Is it a dome stadium?
In Detroit? Yes, it is. Ford Field is domed.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're hoping for some weather?
Huh?
You're hoping for some weather?
Well, no. It's good. I'm glad it's done, to be honest with you, because I think we can do it. I think Washington can do it.
I think so, too, if they can stay close. Now, that's the thing, because the Lions are want to hang 50 on a defense that's even a little bit soft. But here's the thing, that the Detroit defense has been a little more susceptible. It's just that the Commanders cannot leave points out there the way that they did. They need to take advantage of those trips deep inside the red zone.
I know that. And that, one more thing, real quick. I bought a ticket at the beginning of the year saying, and it had good odds on it, that Washington would be in the Super Bowl. I didn't have nothing to do with the winning or losing it.
I like it.
So I just want to leave it there.
Well, I'm sure that this is fun to enjoy because I don't know how many people thought the Commanders would win a playoff game this season, but the way that they're able to perform in those close and late situations with all that pressure, it's awesome.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Enjoy, Wayne. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a good evening.
855-212-4227. From the perspective of the Buccaneers, again, we'll talk about them at the top of the hour. And so I won't go too much into the post game. You did hear a little bit from Baker Mayfield. But how about Todd Bowles giving credit to Jaden Daniels and a new phrase that, well, he turned it into a verb that he's coined.
He was making some plays with his feet. We'd be in position. He out-athleted us, and they did a good job on third down, keeping it in third and short and him making plays.
He out-athleted us. He out-athleted us. That's interesting. All right, now next hour we're going to get into the Bills and the Broncos, also the Eagles and the Packers. So you had another NFC East team advancing as the Eagles are the two seed. So how about that? Of the final four left, we end up with two from the NFC East. Will we also end up with two from the NFC North? Will it be a battle of North versus East? That should be a lot of fun as we watch it play out. But we certainly knew the North was one of the toughest divisions in football. Packers, they're out, but Lions and Vikings are still alive. Also, if you hadn't heard, Mike Vrabel does get offered and does accept the job as the Patriots' next head coach. So that news was dropping on Sunday. I don't know, there's a lot of shock and awe surprise there, but congratulations to him for getting back in after a year away from coaching for real. He was working with the Cleveland Browns as an offensive consultant. Don't ask because I don't have any answers there. But now he's with the Patriots, and Ryan, producer Ryan, with with us tonight, dug up a clip from Vrabel's induction into the 2023, well, it was in 2023, the Patriots Hall of Fame.
But I also want you not to take this organization for granted. I've been a lot of places. This is a special place with great leadership, great fans, great direction, great coaching. Enjoy it. It's not like this everywhere. Thank you very much.
He's the one that points out it's not like this everywhere. Even though he did play in other places and he coached in other places, he now heads back to New England where he played for three Super Bowl winners. And again, inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame just a couple years ago. The Mike Vrabel availability came at a time when the Patriots felt like they had to make a move, recognizing that Vrabel was unlikely to get passed over in this new coaching cycle. It's still kind of stunning that he got passed over last year. But Bob Kraft wasn't going to be able to hire him a year from now. I don't know, Patriots fans, does that make you feel better? Maybe former Patriots, we know some have come out and criticized Bob Kraft for this move with Gerard Mayo, not only naming him the heir apparent, putting that in his contract, but then after one season in which the roster is weak at best, Mayo gets the boot. But does it make them feel better? Does it make Patriots fans feel better knowing that it's Mike Vrabel for whom they fired Gerard? I got to think that if Bill Belichick were still available, there might be a couple of coaches that would have been on the hot seat more so. Now, the news we hear out of Dallas is that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones do, in fact, want Mike McCarthy to return. But does McCarthy want to return? He's still in his exclusive negotiating window with Dallas. I can imagine that's going on. We'll wait for some news this week. To Tampa we go next to look at the Buccaneers side of this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.